Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 34 and 35, it reads like this: Praise the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, Save us, O God, our salvation, and gather us, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may praise Thy holy name and glory in Thy praise. Praise the Lord, for God is good. In Psalms chapter 118, verse 24, we're told, This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I know at times we all get up, you know, you've heard the expression getting up on the wrong side of bed. You know, you get up and you're grumbling and you're just nothing's going right, you know, and you went to get out of bed and you fell on the floor or something, or you turned on the hot water and it ran cold or something, and you know, just nothing going right. But you know what? God has made the day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For when we rejoice in the Lord, our day is going to go a lot better. Amen? If we turn our hearts, we turn our eyes, we turn our spirits upon the Lord, then He will bless us. He will make something better of that day than what we're ever going to make of it. I began working on this message, several days ago. And it's interesting how sometimes that as you're going along, that God then sticks things in, you know, and you go back and you rearrange and whatever. But yesterday we were at home and Mary had the TV on and she had it on one of the channels she watches, and they were showing a Disney movie that was made, I think, back in the 60s called Pollyanna. Anybody here ever saw that movie? Yeah. Well, we watched that movie yesterday, and I don't really know a whole lot, didn't know a whole lot about it or anything. I'd never seen it before, but I'd heard of it. And found out it's based upon a series of books that was written back in the early 1900s. And I'm not going to tell you about the movie or in it, but in this, Pollyanna plays what they call the glad game. In fact, actually, when the original series of books was written, they went under the name the Glad Books as part of it. And that was the series, the Glad Books. And in the closing scene of the movie, Pollyanna, her aunt, the doctor are on the train. They're pulling out from the train station. And this town, which has really been torn, not a bunch of happy people up until this point. And they hang a new little sign on the bottom of the town sign, and it says, The Glad Town. The Glad Town. You know what? I look around sometimes and I wonder how glad we are as Christians. Do people look upon us and say, Now there goes a happy or a glad person, a joyful person, a person that you can tell is different? Or do they look at us and say, Man, there goes the biggest grouch I've ever saw in my life walking down the road right there, you know? And I don't know where they're going, but I'm sure not going to follow them, you know? Or maybe they see you walk into the church and they say, I'm not going there because that grouch goes there. Man, it might rub off on me, you know? Are we glad? Are we glad? Are we a glad church? I think here in our congregation, we're typically pretty glad. We're pretty happy. And we've gone through some trials, and we've gone through some tribulations, and we've gone through some down-in-the-dump moments. But you know what? We put our trust and our faith in God, and as we do that, God begins to move in our hearts, and He gives us joy in our spirits, and we become what? We become glad. I'm glad that God has done for us what he has done. I'm glad that God has blessed us how he has blessed us. Even though we go through tough times, God still blesses. The fact that we are here today shows that God blesses us. Because let's face it, just a little over a year ago, we were going through a brief moment there that we didn't know if the church was going to be able to survive. But God blessed. He blessed. And he's got every one of us here today because of his blessings. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus toward you." And I've got to say that probably that's one of the tough scriptures in the Bible to sometimes follow. When you're out on the interstate and it's pouring rain and there's 1,001 cars zipping by you and you've got a flat tire, let's face it, sometimes it's hard to rejoice in the Lord, isn't it? There comes those times when it's hard to rejoice in the Lord, but I will tell you, it goes a lot easier when we can look, and I know it's tough, and I'll have to be the first to admit that sometimes I don't do that. Sometimes I find it difficult to rejoice in the Lord. But if the scripture tells us if we will rejoice in the Lord, he is going to take care of us. He works out all things for our good. This says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus toward you. I think I told you a couple of years ago about an incident where I was at the part-time job I had, and I was making deliveries. And I stopped to buy my hamburger for lunch, and I was going to get it and get back in my truck and get back on the interstate and head back in toward Nashville. And I got in there, and one thing that always kind of aggravates me anyway is you get in line and, you know, in a fast food place, and the whole operation gets slowed down because you've got somebody that looks like they have never seen that menu board before. And they stand there, and they look, and they look, and they look. And then they look some more, and they discuss among themselves, well, what would you like to have? What would you like to have? No, I don't know. And there's three or four people, you know, especially if they've got kids, you know. The kids never know what they want, except they want the most expensive thing on the menu, and they want three or four of them. I go into the McDonald's with my youngest grandson, and he always wants 20 McNuggets. You know, he can only eat six or eight. Well, I don't know. At his age, he's getting where he can eat the 20. But anyway, you know, at 5 years old, he'd want 20 McNuggets, you know. And get me two Happy Meals and whatever, you know. And you stand there and you see that happening. And you go, oh, man, I got to get back on the road. Can't you make up your mind? I am not rejoicing at that point. Finally got my item. I walked up, told him what I wanted. In a minute and a half, I was in and out of there from that point. I get back in my vehicle, and I head back for the interstate. I get on the interstate, and I've gone just a short distance when all of a sudden traffic has come to a stop. Horrific accident had happened just minutes earlier. I begin to rejoice in the Lord. Not that there was an accident. Father, you kept me out of this mess. Because had I not been delayed, I could have been right in the middle of what happened there. It could have been me that was smashed up over alongside the side of the interstate there. Father, I thank you that it's not me. You know, sometimes these things, if we stop and we look back in retrospect, happen for our good. The Word of God tells us that's what happens. How many of you pray? You don't have to raise your hands. You know, I know Sammy back there prays because I hear his mama tell him, okay, Sam, you pray. You know, but What is prayer? What is prayer? What do you think about? What is prayer? Really, prayer is communication with God. Communication with God. Talking to God. Did you ever watch some court proceedings, maybe on television, maybe in a movie or something even, that took place in England? And a lot of times they get up before the judge or something, and they'll say, "I pray thee." You think, well, who are they praying to them? No, they're not praying to them, but they are requesting of them. They are asking of them. And a lot of times that's what we take it as prayer, whereas our asking of God. And that's the whole thing. How much of our communication with God is asking? Is every time we pray, just, "God, please give me this. God, I need this. And God, if you'd help me to win the lottery, I could make so many people happy and I could do all of these things." And you know, and I read somewhere the other day that somebody said the best blessing you can get is not to win the lottery because it can ruin your life, you know. But we think about these things. We are asking all the time, asking. Or do we have in there as well some thanking and praising? As we just did a moment ago, we began to praise God. We were communicating with God, but we were giving Him praise. We were praising Him for His blessings. We were praising Him for His glory. We were praising Him for His love. We were praising Him for the things that He has done for us. In your church bulletin, there's a cartoon. And this is one of the family circus cartoons. And I happened to find it in a book I acquired this past week. Something about humor in the church. I can't remember the exact title. God wants us to be enjoyable. He wants us to have a good time. He wants us to laugh once in a while. And in this cartoon, the lady is telling her husband how blessed they are. And then you see her, she's saying, "Dear God, I thank you for all that I've been blessed with. I thank you for these things. Thank you for everything." And then you see right next to it, you see the angels saying, "Hey, did you hear that? Somebody's not asking for anything." And I kind of wonder if that isn't what it's like in heaven once in a while, as the angels listen and they overhear maybe some of the prayers that come up and they say, "Whoa, did you hear that? They didn't ask for anything this time." Because some of us, when we pray, that's all we ever do is ask. "God, give me, give me, give me, give me." You know, it's like a spoiled little kid sometimes who goes to their parents and says, "Give me everything, you know. Give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me." God, we sometimes really, quite frankly, try to make God our sugar daddy and get everything we can from Him. And that's not really the way it works. We are blessed. Now, are we thankful for how much we're blessed? Every one of us in here, I don't care what your condition, is a blessed person. Think about it. Just how blessed are you? And I probably have mentioned this to you at some time in the past, but as most of you know, about 12 years ago, I had surgery on my right arm to have the ulnar nerve moved to a different position in the arm because of damage to it. And it was causing a problem with my right hand, and I was beginning to lose ability to use my right hand. Well, I'll have to say the surgery didn't go the way that the doctor had planned and hoped, and I didn't regain a lot of use of my hand. I could do a few things, but there's a lot of things I couldn't do. And there were times I would feel sorry for myself. "God, why'd you let this happen to me? I can't use my right hand. That's like the way I'd want to. I can't hardly write. I can't do this. I can't do that. Sometimes I've only got one finger that works right. You know, God, why, you know?" And I was feeling kind of down in the dumps one time and sorry for myself. And we went to a store in the mall, and my wife was buying something. And, you know, she hands me the item, and she goes to look at some other stuff, and I go to the clerk to pay for it. And I walk up to the register to the clerk to pay for it. And I notice the young lady who is going to ring up my purchase doesn't have an arm from the elbow down. And I thought to myself, and you thought you had problems. You thought you had problems. You've still got a hand. You can still do things with it. You can still pick up things with it. There's a lot of things that you can still do. And sometimes we may have a physical difficulty in our life or even a disability, but we can be thankful that God has enabled us to be as blessed as we are and that God has blessed us in so many ways. The Apostle John wrote in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, he says, I, John, even your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the witnessing of Jesus Christ. Here's John the apostle. At this time, and I don't know the exact dates, but most of the apostles, in fact, all but John, went to a martyr's death. I don't know. I believe at this time probably he was the last remaining. He's here on the Isle of Patmos. And he's not there by choice. He says, as we read it in the King James and a lot of other translations, I was in the isle called Patmos. But if you read it from the complete Jewish Bible, he says, I had been exiled to the island called Patmos. He wasn't there by choice. He wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't coming back from vacation sometime. He wasn't going to go back home. He was there in exile. And he's saying, I'm here. But John goes on. And it says then in Revelations chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, as John has written some other stuff already. But here John has a glimpse of God's throne in heaven. And he says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth was like as a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each one of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they ceased not day nor night, saying, and this is the important part I want to read here, they ceased not day nor night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, which liveth forever and ever. It goes on in verses 10 and 11 to read. And the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forevermore and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy will's sake they are and have been created. Think about it. He has a vision. Being there, he sees those who are worshiping God as he sits on his throne. Thou who hast created all things. Think about it. One of these days, if you're a blood-bought, born-again Christian, you're going to be standing before the throne of God. And you're going to be giving him praise as well. He created you. And we are going to worship him. Whether it be in heaven or in the New Jerusalem, wherever God and whatever God has planned for us, we will spend our eternity thanking and praising God. We as human beings, we are somewhat at this point penalized, I guess. We don't really have all the full knowledge and understanding of what God has done for us. But one of these days we will, and we will worship Him. Right now the world is in turmoil. We have a lot of lowercase g gods out there. We make gods out of people. Certain entertainers, we make a god out of them. Sports figures, we make a god out of them. You know, we talk about some of the Eastern religions and all the numerous gods that they had. We think back about the Egyptians and some of the ancient civilizations and all the gods that they have. And we laugh and we scoff at them, maybe. But look at us here in America today. We probably have as many gods as they had, because we're lifting up all of these men and women and making gods out of them. We bow to the god of entertainment. We bow to the god of sports. We bow to the god of this or that. But one day we will stand before, as Christians, those who are born again, before the God of all creation, the one who created all things, and we will give praise and we will give glory and we will give honor unto Him. John, as he writes in the book of Revelations, the book that tells us of things that are to come, events that are drawing nigh. Verses 20 through 21 of chapter 22, he writes, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What does that word amen mean? It means so be it. So be it. So let's read it that way. "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. So be it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Oh, we as Christians need to be praying for the Lord to come. We need to be asking for Him to come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We want to praise You. But you know what? Even though we can't do it in all the fullness that we'll be able to do it there right now, we can still praise the Lord. We can still worship the Lord. I want you to think about it when you pray. Do we just pray to ask God for something? Now, we had prayer before service this morning. And we had special prayer for Diane that's facing surgery. Nothing wrong with praying and asking God to heal somebody. But sometimes we just need to thank God for what He's going to do in advance. We need to thank God for His blessings. We need to thank God for all that He's done for us. We normally take our prayer request before the message, and we didn't do it this morning. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but we didn't do it. Because I want to do things a little bit differently today. And I know in some churches, can't change the schedule. It's in the bulletin. It was written in stone just right after the 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not change the order of service. Thou shalt not mess with it." Well, I think if that's the commandment, we broke it. But you all have your bulletins. You all have your prayer lists. We can read it, just as I can say what they are. But in a few minutes, we're going to thank God for what He's going to do. I want to close this message, though, and then we're going to do that. But Father, I thank You today for Your blessings. I thank You for those that You're going to reach out to through the Holy Spirit today. And Father, whether it be today as we are seated in this auditorium, or whether it be through messages on demand over the next days and weeks to come, Father, that as Your word goes forth, Father, You said Your word would not return void. I thank You for that, Father, that this word goes forth, that it reaches hearts and lives, and as a result, people get saved. I thank You for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.